Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Well, here we are, Resurrection Sunday. And a couple of days ago, a pastor that I'm acquainted with in Texas posted a cartoon on his Facebook page. And it was from the BC comic strip. And if some of you may know, the original cartoonist for that particular strip was a Christian. So he always had Christian-related themes around specific times of the year, such as Christmas, Easter Sunday, other types of that nature that had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he posted this cartoon. And the first panel shows the main character, BC, saying, "I hate the term Good Friday." And his friend asked, "Well, why?" And BC replies, "My Lord was hanged on a tree that day." And the friend replies, "If you were going to be hanged on that day, and he volunteered to take your place, how would you feel?" And BC replies, "Good." And the friend replies, "Have a nice day." Because he's making the point. If somebody took your place, you were supposed to be hanged, you were supposed to be crucified, and somebody took your place, how would you feel? You'd feel good. And I think that's something that we should think about as we reflect on Good Friday sometimes. Somebody took our place. It was Jesus Christ that took our place on that day. That scenario happened just about 2,000 years ago, that he took our place. And as we were singing one of the songs this morning, and as Larry was making comments between the songs, I was thinking, you know, each one of us at times has to go to a funeral. Some of you may have had to go to a funeral last year. I think some of you here did go to a funeral last year. You've done it in the past. You've done it for friends. You've done it for family. And it's not particularly a joyous occasion because they're going to be absent from our life. They're not going to be there anymore. You can't call them up and talk to them whenever you want to. You can't go over and visit them. So in a sense, they're absent from our life. But you know what? It is only the body that goes into that grave, though, because their spirit lives on. And as Christians, you know, we can have the joy and the hope and the knowledge that someday we will see our loved ones again. So it's only a temporary thing. It's only a temporary separation. John writes in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13, "No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for friends." And that's exactly what Jesus did. He laid down his life for us. He made that sacrifice for us. You know, once in a while we may read a news story and we hear about it sometimes in times of war when somebody rushes over and throws their body on a live grenade and they're killed. But they did it to protect many of their friends from being injured and killed in that explosion. And we think about that. We call them heroes when they do that. But they do it out of love and concern for their friends. But Jesus was hanged on the tree for the whole world. He was crucified. He gave his life for the sins of the whole world. Dottie Rambo wrote a song, I'm not sure how many years ago it was written. I know I've heard it for years. And it's titled, "If That Isn't Love, And it goes like this. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. I want to stop right there. Jesus wasn't born as a baby in Bethlehem, not knowing what was going to happen. He knew what his destiny was. He knew his purpose. You know, most of us, as we're born, we don't have any idea when we're babies what's going to happen to us. And a lot of people anymore, even when they're in their 20s, don't know what's going to happen to them, you know. They have no knowledge of what their purpose in life is. Especially, it seems like some of our college students today don't know what their purpose in life is. But Jesus knew what his purpose in life is. He knew what his destiny was. He knew that he had an appointment with that cross. Knowing his destiny was the lonely hills of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. He knew he was going to die for me. And he knew he was going to die for you. The chorus goes on, if that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. Then heaven's a myth. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love. The next verse goes on, even in death, he remembered the thief hanging by his side. Remember that? The thieves, one on each side. One kind of mocks him. If you be the Son of God, just take yourself down off that cross and take us with you. Get us out of here. And the other thief reprimands the first thief and says, we deserve what we're getting. He doesn't. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus uttered these words to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus even remembered that one that was hanging on the cross, the one that deserved to die. And you know, in a sense, we all deserve to die because we're all in sin. And it's because of his sacrifice that the penalty for the price of sin was paid on our behalf. It goes on, the thief hanging by his side, he spoke with words and compassion. Then he took him to paradise. And these last few weeks, as Christians around the world have been celebrating, and we don't even stop to think about it, really. You know, some churches observe Lent, and that's a period of a number of days, and they will give up something for Lent. And it's getting ridiculous what some people say that they're giving up for Lent if they're celebrating that, you know. Well, I'm giving up watching cartoons for Lent, you know, something as ridiculous as that. But many people are celebrating these various things that some of the various church denominations celebrate before we come into the time of Good Friday and of Resurrection Sunday. And as they celebrate these things, they don't really realize maybe that what we're really celebrating here is love. Did you ever stop to think about that? We are celebrating love. We're celebrating love that could move the creator of the universe to make a decision that we are in need of. We're in need of that decision he made. We're in need of somebody paying the penalty for our sin, and he sent his son. John chapter 3, verse 16, and I always love to read this one from the Complete Jewish Bible, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. He gave the best that God the Father had. He sent his son to pay the price for our sin. Yes, our Heavenly Father would send his son that he would pay that price, that he would take our place. You know, you probably have heard of it sometimes in some court cases and trials where somebody may be trying to protect someone else, pleads guilty to a particular crime, and they suffer the consequences of that crime if they're convicted then, and they may even go to jail for something that they didn't do because they're trying to keep someone else out of prison or out of jail. And God loves us so much that he paid the price that we don't have to go to hell. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear about hell today. You know, that's one of those four-letter words that some people like to use a lot, but they don't want to hear about it either, you know. And some of them don't want to believe that it exists. Oh, no, no. Surely a loving God would not send anyone to hell. Well, first of all, God didn't create hell for us. But because of sin, we're destined there. But we have the choice. He set in someone to pay the price that we don't have to go there. There's a way out. And it's just as simple as accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and living our life for God. It's that simple. We don't have to go do certain types of penance. We don't have to crawl around the world on our knees or whatever some groups may do trying to find penance. It's simply saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me your child. And he'll do so. But we don't stop to think about that sometimes. We've celebrated love. The love of God, the love that God has for us, the love that he wants to share with us. Numbers chapter 29, verse 5 says, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. 80 times the word atonement is mentioned in the Old Testament. And it's referring to a sacrifice for sin. Because you see, that sacrifice had to be made repeatedly. It didn't happen once and for all for you. It had to be done on a regular basis. So it's mentioned a lot in the Old Testament. But the word atonement is only mentioned one time in the New Testament. Romans chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, so much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You see, Jesus' sacrifice was once and for all. It doesn't have to be done over and over and over again. We don't have to hope that we can live and make it till the next time the atonement can be made for us. But it's been made, and if we accept it, then it's once and for all. He made that atonement. According to Wikipedia, which is an online encyclopedia, there are roughly 4,200 religions in the world. Think about that. And what is a religion? Religion is basically a belief system. And let's face it, an atheist doesn't believe in God. That's his religion. That's his belief system. That's why the atheists, if they so desire, can form a quote-unquote church, because that is their religion, that is their belief system. And their beliefs out of these 4,200 religions in the world, their beliefs about God, or even the lack of there being a God, are varied. some worshiping one God, and that God may be a goat. It may be a cow, as some do in India. All of you hamburger lovers would be in big trouble there because, well, you couldn't have a hamburger made from beef anyway. It'd be kind of hard sometimes because the cow is sacred among some of the religions there. They may worship one God, they may worship multiple gods. You think about it, probably in school, I don't know what they teach in school anymore. It seems like the stuff that we were taught when I was going to school has been thrown out and been replaced with something that they got from some other planet, really. You know, I don't know where it came from. But we were taught various things about the history of the world. And we were taught about the Roman Empire. And one of the things about the Roman Empire is they had a lot of gods. You know? Even Caesar thought he was a god. But what happened to their gods? Their gods got sick sometimes. Their gods sometimes got a headache. Their gods had various needs. We've got to do this to fulfill the need of our God. Those who worship Baal had to sacrifice their children to Baal to fulfill Baal's need. And they served all these various gods. It must have been pandemonium sometimes as they were trying to worship and sacrifice and do all the things that they had to do for these various gods. And some of these religions that are listed, and they didn't give a list of all 4,200, but most of them have a founder or maybe a prophet who was martyred. And they go back and they talk about that. And of course, today we think about Judaism and Christianity, two of the major world religions, have extreme similarities because we're founded on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And where we seem to really differ there is the fact that we accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the sacrifice for our sin, which we're celebrating today. And then you have Islam, who had a prophet by the name of Muhammad, who basically traveled around for a while and he learned about Judaism, he learned about Christianity, he learned about Zoroastrianism, he learned about a number of other religions. And he sat down and the results was Islam. Take a little of this, a little of that. There's another religion that comes from the same part of the world, is Islam, called Bahia. A lot of you may never have heard of that one. They have a Bahia church here in Nashville, and I've been acquainted with a couple of people who were members of that faith, and they essentially are the same way. They accept a little bit of that religion, a little bit of this religion, and, you know, and so on. And they have their prophet, and his writings are the Word. That's what we go by. So you've got all of these. And guess what? Every last one of them's founder, prophet, died. Some died a natural death. Some were martyred by various means. Some were even killed by members of their own group. Their friends, you might say. So you've got all of them. Even Jesus died. But here's where the difference comes in. Jesus didn't stay dead. And you got to remember, it's only the physical body that dies. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He came back out of that grave. When they went down to put the spices and anoint the body as they were going to do on that Sunday morning, and they found the stone was rolled away and the soldiers were not there, and the tomb was empty, the grave clothes were laying in there, everything else was there, but there was no body because he had risen. And look at all the others. If you could find their tomb, and some of them, people know where their tombs are located. You go into that tomb, if you were allowed to, and there'd be a body in there. It might be very well preserved, like the Egyptians preserved the mummies, or it might just be a few bones that's still left in there. But there'd be a body there. But in Jesus' tomb, there was no body because he had risen. He had fulfilled what he needed to do. And the Bible then tells us that when Mary came and she actually saw him later in the garden that day, he said, I've got yet to ascend to my Father. He ascended to his Father. Then he came back and he walked on the face of the earth for about 40 days because he had risen, something none of the others had done. Because today we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday the fact that we serve a risen Savior. We serve a God who is alive, not some God that's dead and buried somewhere, but a God that is alive, a God that still hears us today, a God that answers our prayer, a God that meets our need, a God that loves us. And guess what? Some of those other gods that are being celebrated out there, they don't love people. All you got to do is read what their religion teaches, and you know their God doesn't love people. He hates people. Those gods all have a father. Did you ever stop to think about it? They have a father. And their father's name is Satan. He's the father of all. And he's done his best over the years to try to imitate, to try to convince people that he is the one true God. But he is a liar. And the Bible says he's the father of all lies. He's the father of all things that are evil. But we as Christians, we serve a risen Savior. Amen. A God that loves us. A God that cares for us. I'm glad God loves us. I'm glad that this morning I'm not somewhere where I've got to bow down to something made out of clay or out of stone and worship it. And I sometimes wonder about some of these people, and some of them maybe are, now, how is this piece of rock going to help me out here? But granddaddy worshipped it, so it must be okay. That's how the devil's got some people convinced. And there are a lot of people out there that are the same way about Christianity. Well, granddaddy was a Christian, so I must be a Christian. Well, you know, that a lot of people said lately, well, living in a garage doesn't make you a car, you know. And just because you may have been raised in a Christian family, that doesn't make you a Christian. The only thing that makes you a Christian is accepting what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And he completed it then when he rose again on the third day. And the Bible tells us he now sits at the right hand of the Father. Well, let's go on and see what else it has to say here. So today as Christians, we celebrate not the Easter Bunny, but the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not dead. He's risen, and he lives forevermore. today, as Christians, we celebrate his love for us. It all happened because he loves us. The Bible, which is God's word, also tells us that he now, as I've mentioned earlier, sits at the right hand of the Father. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and is set at the right hand of the throne of God. And there's a number of other verses that speak of the fact that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. In fact, Stephen, when he was being martyred, said, I see Jesus. In this case, not sitting, but standing at the Father's right hand. And I've always thought, I tell you, every time I preached on Stephen, and I get to that part where he says, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand, something just runs through me. Because that still shows God's love for us. Stephen was being stoned to death, and that's got to be painful. That's got to hurt. And Jesus stood and gave honor to Stephen because he loved him. God loves us. So we celebrate also the fact that he's coming again. He's coming to receive us unto himself. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there ye may be also. He is preparing a place for us. Think about that. He's preparing a place for us. And we hear stories of what heaven might be like. And I don't think we can really get a true idea. I don't think our brain can wrap itself around what heaven is really like. But he's preparing a place for it. And there we are going to be with him, not just for a few years. Like we hear on earth, we're with family and friends for a few years. Some people may even live to be a little over 100 years old, and that's a long time, but that's a drop in the bucket in compared to eternity. And the Bible tells us we're going to be with him for eternity. That's forever and ever and ever and ever. And if I keep saying that for the next 1,000 years, it still won't be long enough. Because that's how long forever is. It is forever. It never ends. There was a song that I haven't heard sung in a long time. And in fact, I even tried to find in some of my songbooks at home, find the words to it. It was one of my favorite songs when I was a kid, because I took steel guitar lessons because my mother decided I would make an excellent steel guitar player because she liked steel guitar music. Some of you here may be looking and say, what is a steel guitar? Is it one made out of metal? You know, it's also called Hawaiian guitar in some places. So they signed me up for music lessons. And one of the first songs I learned, and it was the song that I loved to play the most on the steel guitar and loved to hear the most on the steel guitar, was a song that was written by Thurl Harris. And it was written to the tune of a Hawaiian song. It's called He's Coming Soon. And basically the first few words of it, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. And you may look at me and say, preacher, I've heard that preached all my life. I've heard it preached all my life. That he's coming soon. But you know what? Each day that we hear it, we're closer than we were the day before. It's closer. I mean, it's almost like the door is opening right now. And we know that he's coming. And why all of this? Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. And what he wants from us, he doesn't want our money. He doesn't want us to do stupid things like some other religions do, and somebody might dislike me for saying that, but some things they do are stupid. All he wants from us is our love. Our love. And if we love him and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we'll obey him. We'll want to do what he wants us to do. Because he's not going to make us do anything. I mentioned earlier, somebody said, why would a loving God send anyone to hell? He doesn't. We do. We send ourselves by not making that decision to accept the price that was paid on the cross of Calvary and was confirmed on Resurrection Sunday morning. He loves us. And Father, today, if there's anyone that's listening to this message that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, oh, maybe they know who he is and they've heard about him and all of these other things, but they have never made that commitment to serve Jesus Christ with all their heart and to give their life to him. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, and that, Father, this very hour, Father, they would ask Jesus Christ into their heart and life and accept him as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father, right now, as we wait a few moments, Father, be there anyone that does not know Jesus Christ, has not made that decision, that wants to, that would like to right now, we give the opportunity. Father, we wait just a moment. Father, now we thank you for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.